A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father has sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. I don't know why exactly, but when I was reading this passage during the week, a memory came back to me that might be similar to yours. Back when I was a little kid, maybe 8 or 9 years old, and during Mass, after receiving Holy Communion, and very much like we do now, everybody goes back to the pew and kneels down and puts their head down in silence. I'm sure it was my mom that egged me on to give thanks to Jesus for coming to me in Holy Communion. And I remember that experience, especially being a little kid, and it was really powerful. Like, that I had Jesus within me, that I just received the host, which was the body and blood of Christ. And this was real. It wasn't just some little booster shot or spiritual vitamin. This was really the body and blood of Christ. And for a few moments there, I was so totally united with Jesus. You know, they say, you are what you eat. You know, when we eat regular material food, it becomes part of us. It's assimilated into us. But when we receive the spiritual food, the bread from heaven, we get assimilated into God, into Jesus. We become transformed by him. And I remember those moments of silence, like trying to hold on to that. And soon enough, the Mass would end and we'd all go home and off to our whatever. And it would be like something that evaporates. But those moments were precious. I'm sure you had similar experiences. And that's the difference between us reading this gospel and saying, yeah, this is truly the bread of life. This is truly how we get into deep union with God. And this is the deepest truth of our faith, that Jesus Christ makes himself into our spiritual food that gives us eternal life. It occurred to me Friday, we did another funeral. We probably do 50 or 60 a year. And it was a woman, not particularly old, 81. And it just made me think, there goes the material life, the physical life here. And we begin eternity. And she had worshipped many, many times here and received Holy Communion. And then she'll have a life that lasts forever now. It's something we need to value more and more. And I was also struck reading that letter to the Ephesians, which seems to have nothing to do with the bread of life, where St. Paul is telling the Ephesians, Watch carefully over your lives, how you live. Don't be foolish, but be wise, because the days we live are evil. I was wondering what that meant. You know, we think back on those civilizations as kind of primitive. How evil could they be? You know, but they had their own evil and sin. And the Christians were living in the midst of that pagan mass with all the evil and sin and no concept of God who would come down and suffer and die for us, because they were not even Jewish in many of those places, but pagans. And we can see the connection to our society today, which has got so much evil surrounded by it. And it's creeping, you know, and it's growing. And we're called to be those ones that kind of carry the torch of the truth. And that knowledge that our Lord and God has come down to this world, and He's given us His very flesh and blood to eat and to drink. And that in the midst of all the sin and evil that surrounds us, we've been given this eternal life. And we're like the hope of the world. A world that's kind of lost hope and doesn't aspire to eternal life anymore. But we do. And we're the reminder, like a lighthouse for the rest of the people, that Jesus has come and He's promised eternal happiness. And yet that evil is always surrounding us. St. Paul's telling the early Christians there in Ephesus, don't get drunk and don't live a life of debauchery. But instead, address each other with psalms and hymns and give praise to the Lord in your heart. Give thanks for everything in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, we have to be the ones, because we have this connection to the Lord and this promise of eternal life, we have to be like the light shining in the midst of an evil age. Yeah, certainly in our time we've concocted all sorts of new evil things. And everybody seemingly has been duped, and you know, we carry the truth. Kind of a shocker, you know, that there used to be one political party that was more or less pro-life, but now both parties have endorsed in vitro fertilization, the abortion pill, surrogate motherhood. There's really no difference. Add that to all the other things that are going on around us that are just taken for granted as normal. And we realize we are living kind of as countercultural. We push back on that. And we're a minority. But we carry that truth, because we receive the body and blood of the Lord. He transforms us. St. Paul was worried that those early Christians would lose it and they'd become lukewarm. And St. John, in his letters, writes to the church in Ephesus, the same church, probably some years later after St. Paul wrote this, and he said, you Christians there in Ephesus, you have lost your first love. You've become lukewarm. And that's good morning from two great apostles, you know, that we can be in the midst of all this evil around us, and we can accommodate, and we can start to become lukewarm too. The way not to is to make sure that our experience of the Eucharist is deep and personal and profound. To let the Lord come to us with the innocence that we had when we were little kids, receiving and being in silence and thanking the Lord. You know, He came into a world that was full of evil at the time, and He still does. And He comes for us with that same hope and that same promise. Let's stay faithful to Him.